Go to 2 Kings 4 as we get into the word for today. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8 to 17. Guys, please, I'm going to really need you to help me with the scriptures because I have a lot and I can't go through all of them. So just, you know, follow me. 2 Kings 4 from verse 8. Are you there? Are you there or you've gone home this morning? Are you here? Hallelujah. It says, now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, look now. Everybody say, look now. I know, another version, I think the King James says, I perceive that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Somebody says regularly. Verse 10, please let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put a bed for him there and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. And it happened one day that he came there and he turned into the upper room and lay down there. Verse 12, then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. So he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered and said, actually, she has no son, and her husband is old. So he said, call her. When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. I see somebody standing in the doorway of opportunities this month. A door is going to be opened unto somebody this month in the mighty name of Jesus. He says, when he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, about this time next year. Turn to your neighbor, say, about this time. About this time next year. It says, you shall embrace a son. Say, you shall embrace your promise. Because some people don't want. I see ministers say, I'm going like this. Say, you will embrace. You shall embrace your promise. Whatever it is you are believing God for, you shall embrace it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Says, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. But the woman conceived, and she bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. Your appointed time has come. Your time of opportunity has come. Amen. First Corinthians 16. I'm just going to read one or two supporting texts, and then we'll get into the word for today. 16, verse 9 is the scripture that we are all cognizant of. It says, for a great and effective door has opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. There are many adversaries. Ecclesiastes 9, last scripture that we're going to just read to set the tone for today. Ecclesiastes 9, that's one word I can't pronounce. Is it Ecclesiastes or Ecclesiastes? Oh gosh, such a tongue twister. 9:11. It says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time, everybody say time, time and chance happen to them all. Father, Lord, breathe upon your word in our hearts and let it bring forth fruit in our lives in Jesus' name. Like I said, this month is our month of opportunities. And the title of my message this morning is Maximizing Your Divine Opportunities. Maximizing Your Divine Opportunities. You know, an opportunity, I looked in the dictionary so I can set the tone. An opportunity is an appropriate or favorable time or occasion. And we just read in the book of Ecclesiastes that time and chance happens to us, or that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong. So time and chance. It says opportunity is a favorable or appropriate time or occasion. Another definition says is a good position, a chance or prospect for advancement or success. A good position, chance, prospect for advancement or success. So in other words, I saw the commonality between the two definitions, and I saw time and I saw chance, and that's in the dictionary. So an opportunity is just a time and chance put together. Hallelujah. Some opportunities, sometimes they say in the world, opportunities come but once. And that's true. Some opportunities you only get once, maybe in a year. So for instance, if I want to take my daughter to see Father Christmas, I only have one time in the year, and that's during Christmas period to take her. I can't take her in Easter, I can't take her during the summer. I only have one chance to take her. But there are some opportunities that come regularly. So if I'm a woman believing God for the fruit of the womb, all things being equal, every month I get a chance. There's a window of opportunity for me to conceive. And then there's some opportunities that come every single day. You know, every single day in your daily activities, in your daily affairs, you know, opportunities come our way. But one thing I want you to be very aware of is that you don't know what kind of opportunity is coming your way. You don't know if it's one that will come again. You don't know if it's one that will never come again. So it's very, very important for us to make sure that whatever opportunity that God gives us, whatever window of opportunity opens onto us, we take full benefit and advantage of it. We maximize it to the fullest. Because you never know, you may never get that chance again. You will not miss your opportunities in Jesus' name. For some people, you've heard stories on people that they'll say somebody preached to them. You heard a story about somebody, you know, they'll say, oh, somebody passed on or something. I said, oh, I actually ministered the word to that person yesterday, and I was trying to convince them to give their life to God, and you know, they were arguing with me, and then they go, and then you just find out that something happened to them. They only had one chance, and they missed it. The Bible says in Hebrews, please put the scriptures on, because I can't open my Bible and look it up. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. It says, today, if you, not tomorrow, not day after tomorrow, not next year, not when I'm 60, not when I'm 40. Today, it doesn't matter how old you are. I know I've got the teenagers in church today. They don't say, I'm still young. You can't guarantee your tomorrow. So the Bible says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in rebellion, because you just cannot guarantee tomorrow. So if today is the day of salvation, so if you are here, you haven't settled the matter of salvation, you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you have an opportunity today to get that right. Eternity is not something you want to joke with. You don't want to be, you know, you want to be sure about where you are going, because you don't know when the trumpet is going to call. All of us will live long in Jesus' name, but you can't take chances with your life. Just settle the matter of salvation. And if you are here, you are not living right before the Lord, you are one leg in, one leg out, you want to make sure that you are on the Lord's side, because there is no in-between. There's no demilitarized zone. You can't be here and there. You can't be black and white. You have to be, you can't be gray. Rather, you have to choose whether you're black or whether you're white. So there's no in-between. So that is something that if you're here today, you need to just make sure that you seize the opportunity. If you want to come and meet me, or you want to come and meet one of the ministers and say, tell me more. Or at the end of the service, there will be an opportunity for you to do that. So preparation, when opportunities come our way, one of the things we need to do is to make sure that we are prepared for opportunities. Like I said, you don't know if that opportunity is going to come again. So maximize that opportunity and be prepared for that opportunity. If you have a great opportunity, like God is going to be opening some serious opportunities to people this month, because the pastor has declared it. So it's already established in the heavenlies. So this month, great opportunities are going to be coming your way. But how many of us know that if I have a great opportunity, I have little or no preparation, there's no way I'm going to be successful. In fact, opportunity is actually preparation. They say when preparation meets opportunity, success is inevitable. So if I have a great opportunity and I have no preparation, my failure is guaranteed. That's the truth. If a student wants to do an exam, he has an opportunity to do the exam, to do their GCSEs or whatever, and they don't prepare, and they just show up, no matter how much they're, you know, willing to go, if there's no preparation, they're not going to pass that exam. And it doesn't matter how many times that opportunity comes your way, you still need to study and prepare for that exam. And as it is in the natural, so it is in the supernatural. So every opportunity that God is going to bring our way, he expects us to be prepared for it. Hallelujah. This year, this month, tomorrow as you go out, just begin to open your eyes. Just begin to ask God to show you the opportunities that he's going to bring your way, because those opportunities are coming in Jesus' name. So I've put the definition aside, and then I'm going to go into the main gist of the scripture. Of the message. In 2 Kings 4 that we just read, the Bible says that there was a Shunammite woman. And this woman, the Bible tells us that she noticed that the man of God was just coming and going regularly. And she noticed that every time he came, you know, he didn't have anywhere to lay his head. So she told her husband, said, you know what, let's build an upper room for this man. So it is that whenever he comes, he can lay his head and rest. And she said, the Bible says that she also persuaded her husband that, you know, as often as he comes, let us feed him. Let us take care of his needs. So the first thing that this woman did was she recognized the opportunity. She said, I perceive that this is a holy man of God. This is an opportunity for me to do something, to be a blessing, to tap into something. So she recognized that opportunity. But she didn't just leave it there. What did she do next? She served. 2 Kings 4, 8 to 10. It says, she persuaded him to eat food. So it was that as often as he passed by, he would turn in there and eat some food. So she was serving. She was in the hospitality department. She was in the welfare department. She had a gift of cooking. And she thought, you know what? I can use this thing to be a blessing to this man of God, because I perceive that this is not an ordinary man. And the Bible says she went around, you know, just seizing that opportunity. You know, it's amazing. A lot of people think that God is just going to come in a vision in the night and then show them in this big vision of their lives and tell them what they're going to do. Sometimes that happens. Sometimes you get a dramatic vision where God appears to you and he tells you the vision of your life and all of that. But sometimes it's in the daily, mundane, roots, you know, boring things that you do. Coming to church, serving in a deep. This woman, that's what she did. She made sure that she was serving somewhere, serving in the house of God. You put in her gifts to use. And the Bible says that, we know the rest of the story, a door was opened unto her. You know, it's amazing how we just sometimes despise the things that we do. We ask people, come and serve God. We'll be begging you to come and serve your God. I mean, anytime we're doing that, anytime you come into, no matter how inconsequential you think you are, and you are not, you have something that you can offer. You have something that you can give. And the amazing thing is that you don't know that that thing is actually the thing that God is going to use to open a door to you. In your serving in the ushering department, somebody will just come in one day and say, I like the way she's carrying the basket, the way she's just, the Spirit of the Lord is with this one. This one will serve me well as a good wife. Yes! It's your opportunity. But you sit down there, you say, come and serve. You say, I'm shy. If you're shy, go to the ushering department. By the time you stand there, that spirit of shyness will get out of you and you become bold. Don't just sit down. You have something that some of you have been coming for years. We beg you, look, find something to do. Use your gifts and your talents. Serve in the house of God. Whatever you do in the house of God is going to do something in your future, it's working something out in your future. Is walking a door of opportunity for you and you don't know it. The Bible says, she said, let us give him some food. All Rebecca was doing, you know Rebecca, remember Rebecca, Isaac's wife, what was she doing? All she did, she went to the well. We are in the well. This is the well where the water of life flows freely. She was in the well, what she was doing? She was just in the well, serving, giving water to the camels. And then she didn't know that that was her day of opportunity. She was just serving casually in the well as an usher. And she didn't know that that was the day that God would send Abimelech to come and get a wife for Isaac. All I was doing when I gave my life, I just wanted to give my all to God. So immediately I came to this country, I found a church, I found Jesus, and I became an usher. And I was so excited. That's why I'm always, you know, when it comes to ushering, I always get very excited. That's where I started. I didn't start here. God didn't save me and put in my... No, you have to start from somewhere. Some of you, you think God, you say, God has called me because to do great things. Start from somewhere. I was just an usher, doing, loving the Lord and focusing on Jesus. Hallelujah. I was focusing on the Lord and minding my own business. A pastor came from Wales one day, from Cardiff, and he just saw the way I was carrying the basket. The way this woman is carrying the basket, the Spirit of the Lord is within her. Hallelujah. So while you are there in the ushering department, nobody sees you. God sees you. Rebecca didn't know that that was going to be the day that marriage was going to connect her. Ruth, the Bible says in Ruth 2, 10 to 12, that Boaz said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you did for your mother-in-law." That was what recommended her. Service. Said, "The way you took care of your mother-in-law, you make a good wife." Dorcas in the Bible. The Bible says that Dorcas in Acts chapter 9 from verse 36, this woman actually died. All she was doing in the church was just sewing clothes. Can you imagine? Please put it on the script on the board for them. Acts chapter 9 from verse 36. All she was doing was just sewing clothes, taking care of the apostles and the disciples. And the Bible says one day she died. And they said, you can't die, yo. You cannot die. Who is going to take care of us? Who is going to sew the clothes? And the Bible says they went and they called the disciples. And Peter came and took her to the upper room. You don't just take anybody to the upper room. The same upper room where the Holy Ghost fell upon them, that was where they took her and they laid her there. And of course, Jesus, God had to send her back. She was too important to his kingdom. That I made a mistake, Dorcas. Go back. Because of your service. Some of you, God will just look at you and say, if I take you from the choir, you can't, because of what you are doing, you can't come yet. Death would have to stay back. You don't understand spiritual things. Honestly, you don't. If you understand, no, you'll be running. When I say, can I serve in three departments together? You don't understand. Elisha, what was he doing? He was a great prophet. That wasn't what recommended him. When they were looking for a prophet, they said, "Is there no prophet? Is there nobody that can tell us what God is saying?" And then they said, actually, that's 2 Kings 3. Put it up so they can just follow me. They said, "There's somebody here that poured water." They didn't say there's somebody here that can prophesy. They said he was the one that was pouring water, serving. Just pouring water. You know what it means, just pour water? Maybe the guy goes to the bush to go and do whatever. He pours water. You know, yeah, because maybe they didn't have toilets in those days. See, give me water. You know, that was all he was doing. And when they were looking for a prophet, they said, the way he was pouring water, the word of God is with him. He is the one we have been waiting for. And that was what created a window of opportunity for him. Can I ask you, child of God, what are you doing in God's house? What are you doing with your gifts, your talents, your abilities? Are you just sitting on it Sunday after Sunday? Some of you, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. Says work. My work schedule. All of us go to work. All of us go to work. Some of us, if you know what we do, and we still come here. So that's not an excuse. Please, spare me that. That is just convenience. And until you make up your mind to do something for God, you always, the devil will make sure you have an excuse. In fact, he will load more on you so that you don't do it. So you must make up your mind. My life must matter. I must do something. I must do something for my God. I must do something at work. Even if you're in the marketplace, even if you have been called to the marketplace, you should still serve in God's house. Don't say, I'm the CEO of a financial institution, and you know, come and be an usher. Be the CEO, speak to them about Jesus, and then come and carry basket. It humbles you, it keeps you on the ground. You command millions, and then you come into the God's house, and you're an usher, and somebody just says, please, they don't even know who you are. Nobody cares who you are. It will keep you grounded. You won't be able to go off. You command so much millions, and we say, go and direct traffic. There's no way the enemy can take you out. You won't fall into the pitfall of pride, because that thing will keep you humble. The things of God, they're very slippery. Say, I need healing. Say, go and dip yourself in the river 7 times. What has healing got to do with dipping myself in the river? Say, I need a baby. Go and serve in junior church. That's a word for somebody. Go and change somebody else's diapers. Go and serve in junior church. Say, God, give me a baby. Say, go and serve in junior church. There was a woman. my mentor, Mama, she's coming. But let me don't jump. My mentor, Mama Dejumo, her sister was in their church. And this is a woman of God that God has used to pray for so many people, so many testimonies when it comes to the fruit of the womb. Her own sister was in the church. And she didn't have any children. And they were praying, binding, losing, doing everything. Nothing was happening. And then one day she said she went to the Lord and inquired. She said, I've prayed for other people. They've got their miracle. How come my own? God, it can't happen. And God said to her, it's not my fault. Every time the angel brings the baby to her in the choir, she's never there. So the angel takes the baby home or gives it to somebody else that is better than her. The baby was not brought to Sunday service. It wasn't taken to prayer meeting. It was taken to the choir. What happened? She had been believing God. The baby wasn't coming. Blah, blah, blah. She got discovered. God responded. I'm not even doing. And she sat. And she stopped going for choir practice. And she was praying for the fruit of the womb. And the angels were taking. That was the dispatch address. It wasn't on Sunday service. It was in the choir. She said, God. So she ran to her house. God said, blah, blah, blah. Go back. So she went back. That same month, she conceived. Don't joke with the things of God, though. Don't say, it doesn't matter. I serve God at work. I evangelize. No, no, no. Come and do something in God's house. All those excuses. You know, and you know what? Even the little things that you do, you'll be amazed. You go for a job interview. Or you get a job. And you just find out you know how to do it. You just know that you just know how to do it. All those guys are working with the, you know, with the computer and everything. If they get it, they'll just, their technical skills. You just find out that, you know, you can actually transfer those skills to the secular world. You know, the way you carry yourself as an usher, you call for an interview and you're so confident, like, the way she's even working. She's got the job without even interviewing her. So don't think that what you're doing here is just here. No, you can take it into the marketplace. You go for an interview, say, I'm very patient. Are you sure you can do this job? If you know how many children that sit on my head in my... I deal with, you know, you can transfer the skills. So an opportunity is being created for you. Don't despise it. I've talked about seed. The woman, the Bible says, the testimony we read, she said she sowed a seed and it opened a door for her. This woman, she sowed a seed. She says, let us make an upper room. That's the second thing. First thing is service, second thing, seed. Your seed doesn't necessarily have to be your money. Your seed can be your time. It can be your talents. It can be your giftings. It can be your abilities. It can be your life. You can sow your life. It's not just about money here. So find something. Some of you, God will be telling you. The Bible says, she said, let us make an upper room. She told her, she convinced her husband, said, we can't allow this opportunity to pass us by. When we go and see men and women, myself and pastor, we don't joke about it. We don't just go there and say, bless you, sir. We just come to, no. I'll leave that one aside. The Bible says, she told her husband, let us build an upper room for him. Some of you, God will be telling you to do something good. You'll be binding and losing. Can the devil, you say he's the devil, can the devil tell you to go and do something good? Can he ever tell you or prompt you to go and do something good? He'll be telling you, do this, take care of that area. You say, get deep behind me, Satan. It's not Satan. Satan can never prompt you to do good because there's no good in him. So stop binding and losing. Go and do what God has told you to do. Sacrifice. I talked about sacrifice last week, so I'm not going to spend too much time on that. You know, Bible says that he who gains his life will lose it. And he who loses his life will gain it. That means you have to be able to give, you must be willing to put something down if you want a door of opportunity to come your way. The fourth thing, I'm flying because my time is really going. Discernment of helpers. This is one area that I can just close on this point. Because this is one area that God has used to transform my life beyond belief. Discernment of helpers will help you maximize your opportunities. The Bible says in 2 Kings 4:9, the woman said, I perceive, I discern, I know that this is a holy man of God. A lot of us, God brings, I'm not just talking about pastors here, I'm talking about even if you're in business, God brings somebody that has achieved about 10 times more what you are trying to achieve. You have to recognize that person. That person is not your friend. Some of us, we think our mentors are friends. Some of us, we think our friends are mentors. We don't know how to recognize, how to discern. When God brings somebody into your life, discern, recognize who is this person to me. The Bible says, she said, I perceive, I think, I know this guy is a holy man of God. She recognized who he was to her. Every relationship that God wants to maximize the opportunities, this is one of the most important keys. Everybody that God brings around your way, at work, in church, whoever, find out who they are. Say, God, who is this person? Is this person a friend? If she's a friend, then don't treat her like a mentor. And if she's a mentor, please don't treat her like, she's not your friend. If he's your pastor, don't treat him like your body. He's not your body, he's your pastor. Everything has its place. Everything should be done decently and in order in God's kingdom. So, ask God, reveal who this person is to me. When God reveals them to you, don't despise them. Don't mistreat them. Treat them well. Treat them with the due regard that is due to them. I'm not saying begin to idol worship people, no. But when you fail to recognize who people are in your life, you shortchange yourself. If this woman had just thought, oh, he's just like any other, he's just one of those, you know, guys, whatever, she would have missed, though. She would have missed out on an opportunity. But she was able to recognize who he was to her. Jesus, the Bible says in Mark 6 from verse 1. Let's look at it. Mark 6. Are you getting something today? Mark 6. Discernment of helpers. This is a year of help. So God is going to bring a lot of helpers our way. A lot. It's a year of help. So it goes without saying that helpers are going to come your way. But when they come, if you don't recognize them and discern who you are, then don't blame God. It's you. You didn't recognize and you missed the opportunity. You won't miss the opportunity in Jesus' name. It says there that, I'll read verse 1 and I'll jump. It says, then he went out from there and came to his own country. This is talking about Jesus. He came to his own country and his disciples followed him. Let's look at verse, let's continue. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? And then verse 3, some of them said, is this not the carpenter? In fact, the wardrobe in my house, I think his father and him did it in 5 years ago. Our wardrobe, even my daughter's wardrobe, in fact, they made it. Is it not the carpenter? What are we talking about? What mighty works? Says, is he not the carpenter? The son of Mary. So they analyze his background. We know his mom. I know his junior, his senior brother and me. We are age mates. We are talking about grace. We are talking about age. Age is not the same as grace. What are you talking about? It's not about age. Say, I know. He says, is it not the son of Mary? The brother of James. So they knew James. They knew Joseph. They knew Judas. They knew Sir. They were analyzing his background. And they said, are not his sisters even here with us? In fact, we are family friends. We go to what with Jesus. I knew him when he was one of my, oh God, help us. My pastor. I have two pastors. I have my pastor, who's my husband, who I called this morning to pray for me. So it is well with you. He's already given me grace this morning. And then I have my former pastor from the church in which we came. He's a zonal pastor in the Redeemed Christian Church of God. So, you know, there's ranking. So you have a whole zone of churches with about, I don't know, 10, 15 churches under you or something. So he's like a zonal pastor. And he went for a meeting. And when he got in there, this lady came in. And pastor said he just noticed that her face just changed somehow. It's maybe the shirt I'm wearing today is not okay or something. And the woman just changed her disposition and she just, you know, just sized him up. So he said he ignored it. And then doing the whatever, he told everybody to introduce themselves. They invited him as a zonal pastor to come and bless them. And all the pastors were there. He said, introduce yourself. Which parish are you from? So he now came to the turn of this woman. She said, I know you. Is it me or my junior brother? I said, I know you. I know your sister, your senior sister. He was taken aback. Said, really? Said, yes, your senior sister and I, we went to school together. In fact, I knew you since you were like this. She was trying to rubbish him. She was dishonoring the grace upon his life. It's not about age. Do you know it would have been better for her to just pack her things and go home? Because you cannot receive from what you attack, you can never attract it. You attack the grace and you want it to flow, it's not going to flow. She should just have really just said, you know what? There's no point in me being here because you are my friend's junior brother. So, okay, you can, you'll get junior brother's anointing. So just pack your things and go home. Don't bother to stay for the meeting. You're fooling yourself. You know, a pastor said, we thank God that God doesn't leave us the same way. In fact, I asked my husband, I said, did you reply her? I was boiling at home. I said, did anybody get up and things like that get me crazy? I'm like, what? Did anybody rebuke? I would have replied her. And damn the consequence. How can you say that? It doesn't matter who he was to you. He's come in the capacity and the office as of a zonal pastor. You say, I knew him when he was like this. Your mouth is not even too, you're not even afraid. Don't do that. The Bible says that they said, are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. Like that woman was offended at my pastor. And it says, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. Verse 5. Now he could not do mighty works there, except he laid hands on a few sick people and healed them. Just a few. Couldn't do. Not that he would not. He could not. There was a divine restraint. That this one does not need what you have. Move to the next person. Let's look at the same chapter, verse 53. It says, when they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him and ran throughout the whole surrounding region. And it says that they began to carry out the beds and to put all the sick to wherever they had him. And whenever he entered into the villages and cities and countries, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged that he might just, you know, they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. The same Jesus, nothing changed. What was the difference? They recognized who he was. And they were able to receive what he could do in their lives. Very, very important points. It's not about, you know, there's some people that just go. Some people are sent. And when you are sent, like Pastor and I are sent, we didn't just go. We were sent. We commissioning. We backing. We prayers. With grace, with release. When you are sent, there is a power that backs you up. It's not about anybody can open the Bible. In fact, some of you can preach better than me. You know the exogenesis of everything. You know the Greek, the Hebrew, you combine all of everything together, we are confused, but you know it. You know, you can preach better. It's not about that. Anybody can teach. But when you are sent, there's a backing. When you speak, heaven backs you up because heaven is the one sending you an assignment. Just like Pastor was sent on assignment to that place, heaven was behind him and that woman missed out because she didn't recognize the opportunity. You will not miss your opportunities in Jesus' name. You know, sometimes those of us that are close, like here in this house, a lot of us are very familiar with Pastor. In fact, I said to him, I'm going to begin to pray. God should begin to take you away some more to go and minister because we become so familiar with Pastor. You know, just Pastor. You know. Don't be deceived, though. Don't be deceived. Don't think because you see him every Sunday, if you know the grace that is speaking in his life, there was one day, I'll tell you, don't put it on tape. Do I still have 7 minutes? Can I close? These guys are not on my side. 10 minutes. One day, you know,